Blog Talk Radio.
One more person. If you're looking for somebody, he's gone. And he don't need nobody else. There's no question of your greatness, no searching of your power. Oh, the wonder of your glory. To you 40 years is but 1 hour. Your knowledge is all encompassing. To your wisdom there is no end. Oh, for you alone are God. You are God alone. Your mercy is everlasting.
Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Jesus the Only Way radio blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. And just thank you mostly for who you are. It's not even about us, Lord. It's all about you. And with that, Deacon Chapman, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes, gracious and heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, Father. First of all, Father, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you made, and we rejoice and glad in it, Father. And, oh God, you have brought all your faithful people into a single universal family. Stretch across heaven and earth, binding us together with a spiritual love which is stronger than any human love, that in serving one another we may neither count the cost nor seek reward, but think only of the common good. And, oh, Father, we thank you for the promises that you have made for us. And I pray that each and every one that's listening today, Father, will hear a word, Father, that their hearts be open, because this topic today is about opening hearts. Bless Sister Faith in the radio station, Father. May you continue to bless, Father, ongoing, and pray that the testimonies of the word that is given would touch somebody's heart, change somebody's life. And we thank you for your resurrected son and your ascended son, Father, sitting at your right hand on the throne of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. Today our topic is on deliverance. And we're going to just take a moment and think about deliverances, but I'm going to share a few things with you. Deliverance is a stronghold in the mind set that is impregnated with hopelessness that causes a person to accept in their life the unchangeable, even though they know it is against the will of God. In the Bible, deliverance is a rescue from bondage or danger. If God says you are delivered, then you are delivered. People that are in bondage could be in depression, it could be sex, drugs, smoking, doubting, unbelief. Whatever God has delivered you from, you should be living in freedom. And if you are not, you have not changed the way you are thinking. In Romans 12 and 2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. As believers, You already have victory. God has given you a spiritual armor, a shield of faith, and an offensive weapon, which is the Word of God. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Don't allow the devil to have control, living in bondage. Have the mind of Christ and live in complete freedom. Trust God and keep your mind on the things of God. And I just want to share that with you right now, Deacon Chapman. Would you like to just say a word or two or scriptures, how we get into this deliverance? How we get our minds become a prison where we can't escape? And there's so many scriptures in the Bible that God says that we are delivered. So if God says we are delivered, then why are we still living in bondage?
Well, we can look at Colossians 1:13, and it states, by the writer Paul to the Colossians, to Colossus, delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then we are redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. And that means that when the scripture says that Jesus was his only begotten Son, he was the only begotten Son of the grave that rose from the dead. Now, the little explanation that deliverance, God delivers believers from the dominion of darkness, because many of us, we profess Christ, but we still are living in darkness. And in some people that are in darkness have been in darkness for so long that even when they come to the light, they still have a blindness. Because, you know, the apostles always use the word of symbolism of light and darkness, meaning for good and evil. And some people just, for some reason or another, just can't succumb from doing evil. And a believer is rescued in the kingdom from darkness. Because what we have to look at, say like in a family, if family members can't see eye to eye on certain issues, to me, the answer would be they pray together and talk together to one another as well as to God. And when we have these clashes of value or taste or emotions or certain enjoyment that we're having, we have to pray out loud and ask God to open our minds. And we go to Acts 16 in chapter and 13th, I think it's the 13th verse, if I'm not mistaken, when Jesus, on the Sabbath, he went out to the city. I mean, when Paul went out on the Sabbath outside the city because they didn't have a synagogue or temple to worship in Macedonia, there was a group of women that was down there worshiping, and a certain woman that was named Lydia, which was a seller of purple goods of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, and he heard what Paul and them was teaching, and she was so attained to this thing that was spoken by Paul, God opened up to her heart. So, and what I'm saying is that for you to be delivered from the circumstances of darkness and of evil, we have to want to have an open heart to God's word. And how are you going to be delivered unless you study God's word and know what his word says? Because when it comes to decision making, we have to look at if God is in control of everything, can we really talk about making certain decisions? And actually, the Bible does give us guidance on how to make our decisions and do God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sister Faith, the Bible is full of instances where people, you know, make all sorts of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like Lot chose to live in the Jordan Valley, leaving Abraham and the land of Canaan. And then Paul speaks of his planning to visit the Christians in Rome, which some of his fellow disciples warned him against that, but the Spirit led him on. And we have to seem to know that there's some tension in the Bible between two ideas. God is in complete control of our lives, yet people, as in the Bible as now, are forever making decisions on their own and even command to make decisions that is not particularly according to God's plan. So Christ is the one that came to make decisions for Christ, I mean for God. That's the plan of salvation. And the question we'll ask, how people are saved, is a constant topic of discussion amongst Christians. They have many explanations of being saved. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if I confess and believe in my heart that Christ Jesus was rose from the dead. Now, do we really believe that, or are we just quoting scriptures? We quote a lot of scriptures. We live in those scriptures. And then, two, we have to communicate with one another, as we have to communicate in Matthew's chapter. We have the Lord's Prayer on the Sermon on the Mount. But before he got into giving them an example of the Lord's Prayer model, he said, go into your closet and close the door, because what you pray in private, God will reward you openly. So a lot of times we need to have private communion prayer with the Father, one-on-one. And when trouble arises, we have to keep going to him because he is sovereign. And a Christian is supposed to be continually being conformed to God's will. So do we really know what God's will is? Okay, we studied the Ten Commandments. That's the will of God. Now, has anyone really lived up to that? No. But the thing about it is we can perfect our lives and mature our lives in the Word, because we can be forgiven of any sin except the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit and rejecting the teaching of Christ. So, Sister Faith, we have to have what I call faithful decisions. And we always have to strive to conform to God's will and not become paralyzed, because a lot of times we get paralyzed in things that we do because they're not according to God's will and working for him for the good of those who he loves, and that is us, the believers, because the believers are the only one that's going to heaven. And a lot of us live a life of wanting to go to heaven, but we're no earthly good. So I'll give it back to you for comments.
Okay. I'm kind of not going to give a little testimony about my life as far as trying to be delivered or being delivered. And, you know, when we are born, we pretty much are free. We are in the eyes of the people that take care of us. And then as we become older, we listen to those people, but we trust them because that's all we know. They were caretakers. They're the ones that we saw when we first came here. And whatever they say or did, we approved of them because they were the people that took care of us. But as life goes on, as you grow up, things happen to you which shatters the things that you know. And that's a lot of things that happens which causes us to have those strongholds in our lives, a lot behind what we've been told and believing those things and not looking at what God says. So when you have to look at, you got to look at God's truth and you got to look at your truth. Your truth, the things that happen to you, what you have been taught, and then there's God's truth. But you have to line your life in God's truth so that you will know what the truth is. And so that will help you to be delivered, because you're believing in one thing and then God says another, and then you know this is not true because God didn't say it. And then those are things that can take off of you. Then there's other things that happen to you. You may get in a car accident. You may have an operation, or maybe a doctor told you that you have something or some ailment, and it changes who you are. But what God says never changes, because He is our deliverer. No matter what life throws at you, we live in victory. And the only way to be delivered is through God. And so I look at my life, and a lot of things have happened to me. A lot of things have changed in my life. And I believe a lot of things God allowed to happen in my life so that I could have that one-on-one with God, because He had to separate me so that He could show me His truth. But I also had to be willing and open to know this is not what I want. And you have to cry to God, God, please help me. Show me. And He will deliver you. And it's a process. It takes work. But you got to keep your eyes open to what God is saying. And it's difficult because you want to go back to your old ways. And the enemy wants you to go back to your old ways. But you have to rely on God. You got to trust God. Even if you don't see it every day, He's going to deliver you. His word says it. His scripture is truth. And so when I look at my life today, I can see where God is, how He has changed me, how He has delivered me. And I also had to do the work as far as forgiving people for the things that they have told me. I got to forgive myself for the things that I have done to other people in the belief of what people have told me. And it's something that you have to go through on a daily basis to always stay focused on God. You don't have to listen to everyone. You got to listen to what God says. That is a must. You got to be obedient to His word. And then when you see people, you know they need to be delivered, but you got to pray for them. But you can also talk to them and help them. But even so, they have to be the ones that want to get help. Some people want to stay in that place. And some people don't know, they want to get out, but they don't know how. And I like to say, even though you have doctors and things like that, not every doctor says what he says that you have to believe it. You got to believe in what God says, no matter what it is. You got to believe in what God says. God is a healer. He's a deliverer. Jesus Christ died for everything. And so you got to rely on God. And so, Deacon Chapman, I'm back to you. What do you think about that?
Well, that's true, but also we can look at 1 Peter 4:17. It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begins with us, will the end be them that obey not the gospel?" So we look at the time has come for judgment. Now, judgment really does simplify condemnation in scripture, but is used in a relation to Christ, and it simply refers to the evaluation of believers' work for the purpose of the reward. And what that reward is, that when Jesus makes His appearance, we read about it in 1 Thessalonians, that we will be caught up. The true believers, the true church of God, will be caught up and go to heaven with Him. And then we look at the house of God. Now, that focus is not on a building. See, a lot of us say, well, let's go to church. I'm going to church. If you have confessed Christ and you believe in your heart that He died for the covering of your sins, and that He died for you. But you have to realize that you are the building. You are where the judgment begins. And also, we have to look at that we are those that are disobedient, they are not a part of God's family. Only the true believers are part of God's family, which is the household of faith. But we have to, we always look at the building. Christ is not coming back for a building. He's coming back for true believers, those first that died in Christ and those that are left behind that are believing in Christ. And then when we look at 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You spoke on that earlier. And he cares for us. God loves us. God is, his love is sovereign. And God's love is so sovereign that he looked down through the channels of time, the corridors of time, and he saw us entrapped in our sins, and he sent, he separated spirit and gave Jesus a fleshly body, because he's part of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we were, he was recognizable. So when they saw Jesus, they saw God. He said, you see me, you see the Father, because the Father is in me. And when you were speaking mm-hmm. about the word is truth, you go to John 17:17. Said his word is true. And this is what it says. I am through thy truth, thy word is truth. Then we go to Mark 11:24. He shed his blood for all.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to realize that this blood cover, even if you are not in Christ yet, once you come to Christ, this blood shed, this blood covers mm-hmm. you. It's ever mm-hmm. flowing. I've had a young man tell me that the blood is dried up, so I wanted him to give me the scripture where it was, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet. The blood never dries up. It's ever flowing. You know, it's just like continuous flow of water, because the power of the shed blood of Jesus will never fail us, Sister Faith, if we believe.
That's true. That's very true. I was speaking to a lady, and there's a couple of people that she knew and loved. They died on her, and I was trying to see if she would want, like, to come to church, because it seems like a lot of stuff was happening to her. Like, one by one, things were just happening to her, and so she kind of pushed God away, like, put these walls up, because she felt like, well, if I go to church and it's not in my heart, and I'm a hypocrite, so I'm not going to go to church. She had a teacher for everything. But there's all these things happening in her life and she didn't understand why. And so she built these walls up, and she decided that she didn't want to love God, and she felt like God was her enemy, and that built up her strongholds. And I look at that to me as she wanted help, but she didn't trust it. So she was saying, I guess I don't trust God. I felt like because she was lost, she lost people, her self-esteem has very low, and I was just trying to figure out, well, what could I do to help her, because she already got these walls up, she's not going to look at it in that way. But those are some things that how people have been built up walls upon them, because they really do want to be loved. They really do want to believe in God. They really do want to have a better life, but they just don't know how. What's my first step? What do I need to do so that I can block these walls off of me, so that I can get what I actually really want, is the love of God. And I also want to talk about... Yeah, go ahead.
One of the walls we really have to dissemble is the wall of unforgiveness. Because Jesus said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses, which is, in other words, your sin. Because you know, in Mark 11th chapter, I've heard a lot of explanations of various, talking about the Gentiles being thrown in the sea and tearing the mountain down. But what I've gotten out of this, and maybe no one may agree, but it said in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he said. And that comes from a question that Peter had asked about the fig tree when he cursed it, and it withered away. And he said, therefore I say unto you, whatever things so you desire that you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And to me, that means that whatever problems we have is not impossible for God to solve it, but we have to give it to him, and we have to have faith in God and trust him. Because, see, many times in our prayers, we ask for favors, and God always asking us to trust him and trust his son. Because a lot of times this mountain is the problems, the temptations, and sometimes the stumbling blocks that are set in our way. And who set those in there? Satan. See, a lot of people think that Satan has a physical body. Satan is a spirit, a demonic evil spirit. But he does have an army of evil spirits that he can dispatch to unbelieving, deceitful, and unwilling hearts to command them to do evil. And that's why I'll say this, now back it up in church, the thing about touch your neighbor or slap your neighbor three times. I don't do that because I don't know. That could be a spirit of Satan in that person, and I don't want that spirit passed on to me.
Amen.
So I don't do it. And go ahead.
I saw a lady trying to get a demonic spirit out of her, but because she didn't really know what she was doing, that demonic spirit was out of control, and it didn't go well. There are people that have gifts for the demonic spirit that can get them out. I've seen that too, where I saw the enemy inside. I saw a person be delivered from it, and I saw the Spirit of God flowing through that person. And I was going to say how to tear down a stronghold. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling of strongholds. Strongholds are birthed and dwelled in deception, which are lies and false beliefs. And they cure among the truth and God's word. And I wanted to share that. That's why I was speaking on your truth and God's truth. When you line your truth up with God's truth, you will see where the lies have come in. And then the lies of the enemy. And that, and there's where you, those pulling down of those strongholds will be lifted up off of you. You can believe in something for so long, it becomes you. But then when you look at God's truth, you are delivered. It no longer holds you anymore. You will no longer be in bondage. And you will become free, which you were free all along. Because of victory in Jesus Christ.
Right. Because there are a lot of false prophets that will put the congregation in bondage. They will mix the. See, we are under grace, a new covenant, and that new covenant is under the shed blood of Jesus. And but it mix old and new. Now, the Old Testament that is for our learning, for our study, and also Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is extension of the Old Testament. Even some parts of Acts is extension up to Pentecost is. the extension of the Old Testament, because what we have to look at, they say Pentecost is the birth of the church, but it was the conversion of the Jew first, then the Samaritan, chapter 8, and then chapter 10, the 11, the Gentiles at Cornelius' house. And then the church, the age began on earth. Because it was prophesied in Isaiah that the Gentile would see the light, and also they would see the righteousness. And how we get the righteousness is through Christ, because Christ is the righteousness of God, and we get his righteousness from his death on the cross by believing in his death and crucifixion, but also his resurrection. And he walked his way before. So when they say in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, we never see we never seen none of those individuals in the Bible that we read about. But we have to believe it by faith, because those that were there live by sight but develop little faith. And faith is for, I always trust him. Who is him? The only begotten Son of God. Grace, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. God's love gave us that righteousness by giving his only begotten Son on the cross to die for our sins, and he was sinless. He committed no sin, even though he was tempted as we are. And that would qualify him to be the great high priest, because he can identify with our weakness. He can identify with our trials and our tribulation, because they took him through those channels. But the thing about it, as soon as we confess Christ and then the suffering starts, we run like a banshee, as my grandmother used to say. We run out of the church. A lot of them become what I call foot voters. They leave and never explain to you why they left. I always say, sometimes congregations need to get together and have a vent meeting. And what I mean by that, vent, what are their frustrations? What do they see that they're not getting? What do they need? And it has to be somebody there to explain to them or talk to them about the question. But first of all, you have to pray for understanding, pray for deliverance, because man does not know it all. I've heard a Sunday school teacher say, we don't know it all. I teach Sunday school, and I'm still learning from the Word of God and the revelation. And one of the prayers I think each individual should have, God, would you continue to give me revelations of your word and knowledge and understanding, and keep me guided by the Holy Spirit in your word? And also we have to walk that life that we are teaching, but we have to be example of that life. We're doing this in the name. It's all about Christ. Like on Sunday morning, to me, well, every day, but actually when you go into, I call Sunday school the beginning of worship, is Christ, the cross, and the Word of God. And nothing else matters.
That's right. All right, then. This ends on deliverance. I got a lot out of it today. And I thank you, Deacon Chapman. Would you like to close us in prayer?
Father God, as we come amongst your presence once more, Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father, that we could speak on your word, Father, that we could deliver some understanding of what's being said in Scripture, Father. And I pray that each and individual that's listening, Father, even though they didn't have any comments or any questions, that they will get into their word and develop a study habit and read 2 Timothy 2:15. And also read John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. Because we all need love.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for Sister Faith and her endeavors, Father, in his radio station. And we pray that it will continue to air, Father. We pray that people will pass the word, Father, and they will call in, Father, and listen, whether they have a testimony, whether they have a scripture to talk about, or just something about their lives, Father, that will enlighten somebody else. Because, Lord, we know that something we go through is not so much for us, but it's for us to go through it, that we could be a testimony to someone else. And we thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. Tune in next Wednesday. With this, everyone have a wonderful evening, and God bless.
God bless.
Come one more person. If you're looking for somebody, he's gone. And he don't need nobody else.